It's 8:40. What is today, the 14th of April, 2010? Thank you, committee, and thank you, all of you that came, short notice. I think the bill that we want to consider today, present here today, first of all, Representative Sista, Co-Chair Herron, Vice Chair Tammy Wilson, and Representative Lindsay Holmes, and Representative Bob Lynn. The bill that we have here in front of us, my desire would be that we'd move this up to finance in short order, but I do not want to cut out, if you haven't been following any, the committee has not been following the process on this thing. I want to put on the record right away that I have a bias and I'm interested. So the sponsor of the bill, Senator Olson, who is testifying at this time, and he's got staff here to testify, and myself, we're advisors as this bill was put together, and so you can guess where we're coming from, you know. But I just want to put that on the record, and there's no intent to stop anyone from questions or anything, but I would like to see it move out today if we can. So, with no further ado, if you would come forward and tell us about the bill.
For the record, my name is Denise Licioli. I'm staff to Senator Olson. And Senator Olson does send his regrets. He has several commitments this morning, and he's unable to come down here. He may pop in for a second or so if something happens with one of his meetings. But anyway, he sends his regrets, and I'll try and explain the bill to you. Senate Bill 172 would establish the Alaska Healthcare Commission in statute if this legislation is passed. Senator Olson feels that's important because Alaska is facing serious health care shortage costs, access, and quality issues. Between 1991 and 2005, health care expenditures in our state have more than tripled, and it's expected to double again within a very short period of time over the next few years. All levels of government, state, federal, local, and otherwise, are affected. And Alaska's economy cannot sustain the kind of increases that we've been seeing in this area. The issue is complex and broad, and it cannot be dealt with adequately unless there's some kind of a governing body that's permanent that can look at and plan and follow through and do the kind of research and long-range comprehensive look that would be required for an issue of this size and complexity. The purpose of the commission would be to provide recommendations for a statewide plan that would address those quality, access, accessibility, availability of health care for all Alaskans. The duties of the commission would be to serve as a state health planning and coordinating body and to provide recommendations for and to help develop a state health plan in coordination with all interested parties, which would of course include the department and others that would have a stake in something this important. They would also strategize on how to go about making those improvements to the health of all Alaskans. The way that they would go about doing this, there are some specific things that are mentioned in the legislation that we would want them to look at. And the first would be to encourage personal responsibility for disease prevention, healthy living, and acquisition of health insurance. We feel that's important. To reduce health care costs, since obviously the cost alone is pretty staggering. To eliminate known health risks, such as unsafe water and wastewater systems. And just earlier this week, there was an article in the ADN, some of you may have read, that went to that very issue, particularly in my boss's areas of the state, and some of the other rural legislators are faced with that kind of problem, and to develop a sustainable healthcare workforce. We have many shortages, and to improve access to quality healthcare and increase the number of insurance options for healthcare services. The commission would hold public hearings and submit an annual report to the governor and the legislature regarding the recommendations and activities that have been taken during the previous year. And the composition of the commission currently in the CS that you have before you would have 13 members, 10 of which would be voting and 3 would be ex officio. The 3 ex officio on the current commission are Representative Keller and my boss, representing both the House and the Senate, and then a member for the governor. And the 10 voting members would be the state medical director, who would also be chair, the Tribal Health Community Representative, the Statewide Chamber of Commerce Representative, who could not be associated with the health care industry, the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association, also known as ASHNA, a health care provider who would be licensed and actively engaged in their practice and also not affiliated with ASHNA. I've got it wrong in my notes. Excuse me, it should say a health insurance industry. We did amend that yesterday, and I didn't update my notes to reflect the current CS, but I believe the one you have before you says correctly, health industry, health insurance industry representative. A healthcare consumer who is an Alaskan resident and not employed by or having a business that would business interest in the healthcare industry. A licensed primary care physician actively practicing family medicine, primary care internal medicine, or pediatric medicine. A representative from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and a representative from the Alaska Community Health Centers. So that would be, complete the 13 members, and including the 10 voting. Alaska's need for health care reform is pressing and must be dealt with thoroughly and efficiently with a long-range view toward meaningful change. The Alaska Health Care Commission would play an important role in that process so that present as well as future issues could be addressed, anticipated, and better understood by the parties that would be engaged in formulating that policy. So, and with me today, Dr. Hurlburt, the current chair and the chief medical officer for the department, is here, as are several other interested parties. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that I could, Mr. Chair.
Before I ask the committee, I just want to make sure one thing. I believe you indicated that in the recent discussion in the other house or on the floor, whatever it was, the insurance, word insurance was added.
Yeah.
Okay, and that so that's an amendment we'll have to do to make ours consistent, and that is a question I had. It's on page 3, line 23, after the word healthcare, after the word care. Right?
Mr. Chairman, the current version, which is out on basis, and
we have C.
It should be C dot A.
We don't have C dot A.
That's the only change. I can give it to.
And my staff will come
back.
Would
you like to see it,
sorry,
Mr. Chairman?
One member represents the health care.
It is on the internet, C.A. It was amended on the floor yesterday.
So, Mr. Chairman, it reads, this is line F on page 3, line 23, one member who represents the healthcare insurance industry is what it says.
That was changed. Yeah. The word care came out,
okay,
and it was replaced with the word insurance.
Health
so
insurance.
It says health insurance industry.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
And, and I'd be happy to show any of you that want.
And when my staff gets back, I will ask him to make copies of C.A. Oh, Liz, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you.
Well, you want the whole thing? I can give you the whole. Although I'll be blind if you ask me anything.
Great. Thanks, Liz. Any questions for the sponsor's representative, Representative Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few questions. In general, I think I like and support the bill, but just a couple of questions. Is this the commission intended? I believe there was, and I'm sorry, I was a little more familiar with the House version, but I believe there's a sunset in here. But is it intended, like we sunset a lot of commissions, is the intention that the commission exists sort of indefinitely?
I think
so. Yes, there is a sunset in there.
Looking for it, June 30th, 2014, it sunsets.
Yes.
At the bottom of page 7, line 31, and then it continues on page 8, with line 1. Mm-hmm. And so.
Oh, so Mr. Chairman, my question is, we have a lot of commissions that some we sunset because we intend for them actually to go away on that date. Mm-hmm. Some we sunset simply because we plan to come back and review whether or not they're being effective. Is it the intent of the sponsor at this point that if the commission is serving its function, that it will continue and we will reauthorize it in 2014? Or is this intended to be a short-term commission that only exists for 4 years?
Through the chair, Representative Holmes, I don't think that my Senator Olson would necessarily want to direct you either way. I think the issue, he realizes that the issue is complex enough that it may be that their work would not be done by 2014 and the legislature would choose to extend them. However, He also recognizes that it's possible that there are a lot of things going on right now, and maybe their work would be done by 2014, or perhaps you'd want to make changes to the composition or other things about the commission. So I think that he wanted to put a shorter sunset date to allow, you know, at least 3 years to look at an issue this complex, but leaving it up to the legislature what to do from there based on what events unfold in that time.
Follow-up, Representative Holmes.
Follow-up. Thank you. Because I'm looking at it, and it's got staggered three-year terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think staggered three-year terms looks to me like something. And I don't have an objection either way. I'm just trying to clarify where we're headed with this. Staggered three-year terms gives me the impression this is intended to be ongoing. If it were just a three- or four-year commission, I would assume you'd appoint everybody that'd serve all 3 or 4 years, and then it would go away. So I'm sort of entering into this with the general assumption that this is something we're setting up, and we're giving it a four-year trial. Assuming it works, we intend this to continue in existence.
If I may, Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Holmes, I believe that Senator Olson would probably be surprised if their work was done in 3 years
with
an issue this complex, but he felt that would give an adequate time to make progress and see whether changes needed to be made at that time in any way. And so that's why he did the staggered terms. I think that for an issue this complex, this broad, and given the changes that are happening on the national level, that it's going to take some time to even sort out the impact of what those changes are and how they're going to trickle down to our state and how we might want to react. So I would say that without really wanting to speak for my boss, that he would probably be more surprised if it actually truly sunsetted on that date, but it just gives an opportunity to come back and the legislature to look at it again and decide what to do from there.
And Mr. Chairman, I have a few other questions. I don't know if
go
you
ahead,
want me to continue
sure,
or
no,
okay,
fine.
I'll just stay on a roll here. I'm looking on page 2, and on the top of page 2, starting on line 3, it gives the, I'm trying to remember if this is the commission or the department, gives the department the ability, and I guess I'll put this out there, and then maybe Dr. Hurlburt could talk to it a little bit as well when he comes up. Gives the department the ability to develop, adopt, and implement the statewide health care plan. And so I'm sort of wondering what the role is seen going forward of the legislature in this. Is it seen that the commission is going to come back with a plan and the department's just going to start implementing it? To what extent is it going to come back to the legislature for the legislature to kind of bless it or look at it? So that was one of my questions.
With the permission of the co-chair, I think I would prefer to defer
to
Dr. Hurlburt because he is the expert and he is leading the current commission.
If you would, Denise, just stay there, and Dr. Hurlburt, if you'd come forward, that'd be great.
Might as well be efficient.
What we're trying to do here is get as much information out as we can, and, you know, as efficient a time as we could. So, go ahead, Dr. Hurlburt, if you would identify yourself for the record, and you want to respond to Representative Holmes' question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Ward Hurlburt. I'm the director of the Division of Public Health and the chief medical officer with the Department of Health and Social Services. Through the chair, Representative Holmes, the commission has seen itself as it's been constituted and functioning to date as making recommendations both to the legislature and to the governor and to developing plans so that before a health plan would be adopted, it wouldn't be something that I would see the department doing unilaterally, but working in collaboration with both the legislature and the governor's office, but would see its role in developing plans going forward there. And through the chair, just comment on the sunset provision. The earlier version that I saw did not have that, but As the chair has heard me say, I'm one of the world's largest skeptics on commissions, though I have been impressed with this group, how well they've worked. And I would think that provision, in my mind, would give the commission a chance to truly demonstrate its worth. And if it did not demonstrate its worth, then with a fiscally conservative administration, probably should not be extended. I would not see that as a bad thing.
Mr. Chairman, while we're here, can I ask two or three last ones that I've go down my list?
Is directed at Denise or Dr. Hurlburt?
Well, I think they're kind of directed at whichever. I think Dr. Hurlburt might be helpful in answering one or two of these. Could leave them right there. I think all my remaining questions are on page 5. On line 11 of page 5, there's a disclosure forms required of the members. And I'm just wanting to know if there's going to be any problem with any medical ethics or anything with any of the people filing the disclosure that's as written here. I know there are certain professions which are under certain professional ethics, and I just want to make sure we're not setting up, for instance, any physician members or anything to break any of their ethics.
Through the
Chair, ahead, Dr. Herbert.
Representative Holmes, to some extent, I would defer to you as an attorney on a question like this, but from my own experience of needing to make disclosures, I don't think that should be a problem for anybody.
Okay.
It's fairly broad.
You just never want to set anyone up, Mr. Chairman, to be in a catch-22 when one law requires them to disclose and the other law requires them to keep something, patient information or client information, confidential. So I'm kind of sensitive to that. Good. Okay. If anyone else later has another view, would be welcome to hear it. And then one more question I just had on what words mean is down on line 24, that same page 5. Enhanced market forces. It says that one of the things they're supposed to look at is reducing healthcare costs by using savings from enhanced market forces. And that's just simply, I'm not entirely sure what that means.
Through the Chair, Representative Holmes, I believe the intent there would be to look at using leverage of purchasing, making sure that that you get your money's worth, that the $6 billion a year that we're spending, the 18% of our GDP now, is just a huge amount of our national resource. And we would want to make sure that the services that we get for that really are supported by the science, that they're purchased efficiently and effectively. I would interpret it that way.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, my last thing is more of a comment than a question at this point, which is, wow, this sounds like a full-time job for these poor commission members, and I know that that there's a broad spectrum of people who are going to be serving on this, and I just assume that their employers are going to be supportive, because I don't envy all the work they have in front of them. Thank you.
Do you want to respond? But I can't help but comment back. Like the challenge is so huge, you know, that I've learned is that there virtually is nobody in the healthcare culture, arena, industry that isn't really concerned. And anything that we're doing to address the cost in a way that's responsible and at the same time increases the access, the quality, I've never heard a negative word. So. The passion of the commissioners that I saw was pretty impressive in the department. Representative Wilson, you had a question on the fiscal note, I believe, and Dr. Hurlburt is up here, so if you wanted to ask him, that'd be fine.
Well, I kind of have a amendment toward that. I guess my question would be, I see a lot of expertise already, you know, in the health and social service, what you have, and as far as hiring another person as an executive director, I guess my question would be, is there someone already doing a lot of these types of things that could be utilized versus hire someone else?
We have Will DeLaughlin was also available to testify on the fiscal note. The executive directors, through the chair, the executive director's position is a full-time position there. We do need support for that. With healthcare reform now being a reality, this body will serve as a public body in reacting to some of that. It's another task there. There are certain types of analyses that we do not have the expertise within state government. For example, healthcare economist. There will be national analyses available through multiple organizations, through contracts that the state has with organizations like Covington and Burley, that has been doing some analyses, like Kaiser Family Foundation. There'll be a number of groups doing national analyses, but we will need some state-specific analyses, and there are types of expertise that we do not have within the department that may exist at the University of Alaska, for example, through the ICER program there. So there will need to be some outside contracting and support for expertise that we don't have.
Identify yourself for the record and go right ahead, Denise.
Again, my name is Denise Lucioli, staff to Senator Olson. And I would say that actually what Representative Holmes said kind of plays into your question a little bit. There is an awful lot of work for the commission to do, and I'm not the department, and I can't speak to what their needs are and what they already have, but I can definitely say that I do think it's going to take at least one full-time staff person, just because of the fact that the other commission members are doing other work, and this is they're volunteers essentially on their own time to do that. So I could see where there'd be at least one full-time person that would be needed, not just to coordinate between the members, but to do a lot of that research, to interact and pull things together so that the time of those who volunteer would be minimized, and that it already takes, as I'm sure Representative Keller can attest, and I know from seeing Senator Olson's schedule over the last year on the previous commission, it takes an awful lot of time even just to prepare and attend the meetings for those who are volunteer. And without a staff person that would be dedicated to doing a lot of that legwork prior, I think that it would greatly hamper the work that the commission could do. But I can't speak to whether they have one from within or without, but I can say that, in my view, they definitely need someone that would be dedicated, at least one someone that would be dedicated to the work of the commission.
Okay. Go ahead.
And I don't have a problem with the dedication. I don't have a problem with the commission either in pulling it together. At this point, I think nobody knows what's going to go on, and even the commission's until some of the stuff from the federal government and whether we're going to fight it or not. There's just so many issues out there. I can see a staff member being dedicated to that. That, to me, is a different message than an executive director and a different pay scale as well. So, yeah, I do believe there's somebody who needs to be able to coordinate it. I'm just not sure. And in an executive director type of position is kind of where I am. But I definitely am kind of like where Representative Holmes. I like the idea of it. I know you have one right now. I'm concerned about adding another, $500,000 into the budget on it.
And for that, I would just respond that I think the department and Dr. Hurlburt would have to answer what their given resources are.
Yeah, and before we go there, I think what I'd like to do is see if there's any further questions, and then if you proceed with the amendment, I'd like to have them available to
perfect. Respond. That would be a great time.
So is there any other questions for the sponsor, Dr. Hurlburt? Representative Sista.
Well, if I could also comment, I guess it's kind of a question, probably not, but in Representative Holmes's comments, looking at, in fact, the language here that says how the commission is supposed to head out, and it doesn't include the legislature, doesn't include a lot of the infrastructure that actually probably eventually needs to take place, because what we're talking about here is not a board like all the other boards that we have with just a few things or a limited amount of territory that's covered, but it covers every department in the state has their fingers in the health pie, and every single one of the people in the state government is affected by how the state manages its health, because they get both pay and insurance, health insurance. So it is billions of dollars that are really impacted by this commission. It's not a small thing. And we are wasting money. You can see it. Everyone knows it's happening. But we've, because of a lot of different things, been cutting back on some of the data collection that has been done. So we can't even compare ourselves right now to a lot of states as we used to be able to, because some of the data that's not there to compare us. And that saves us money. And this commission gets themselves straight into that. This is a huge financial savings to the state that this commission can do if given the ability to. And actually, underfunding is usually the kiss of death to business. And so with this, I think you want to have that person not at the top level, but the person that keeps the glue in place, right?
So that was a comment.
Really? Yes, it is. But it's also, somebody can jump in and tell me I'm wrong. Yeah. That's a question.
who specifically represents this? And I apologize for having kind of a group effort here, but who specifically would you like to address that question to?
Well, I think our medical director is probably the best person.
Okay.
Through the chair, Representative Sista, I appreciate your comments and would say amen to many of them there. I think that the need for the commission has become more acute with the passage of health care reform, and it is a major part of our economy, as you say, that impacts on everybody. We do need resources to have the commission ongoing. There were not resources provided this first year, and we're struggling now, quite frankly, in the division with our year-end closeout, being fiscally responsible, but it has been an added unfunded mandate, you might say, on the division. And so the need is there. I think the kinds of things that you have so much passion about, on the prevention and the public health kinds of things, are areas that my division needs to be involved in, needs to be held accountable for on a day-to-day basis. I think probably realistically the healthcare commission will be dealing with medical care cost issues probably percentage-wise a greater portion of the time, but I think it's clear in the language of the bill where the commission is charged with the strategies as for improving the health on page 5, line 18, the health of all residents of the state, encouraging personal responsibility, disease prevention, healthy living, and we do need to go there if we are going to control this out-of-control escalation of health care costs that we have. So I appreciate your comments on that.
Any further questions for the department or for the sponsor? Oh, Denise, did you want to make a follow-up?
Yeah, yes, if I could, Mr. Sure. Chairman. I just happened to think, too, I'm not sure whether this is a concern or not, but the fiscal note does share the costs with the federal government, so they are going to bill other federal programs because they will obviously benefit from the work that the commission does as well. So the full amount of the fiscal note will not come totally from the general fund, although, you know, more than half will. To the degree that that's an issue, I wanted to point that out so that you could be sure to keep that in mind.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that Deb Erickson is online. She was the commissioner for the past commission, and she's available for questions for anybody. And we'll give her a chance to make some comments if she likes. But is it one more question?
Yeah, just to follow up on the fiscal note, because on the fiscal note I have, it shows that the $500,000 is all coming from general funds.
If I could call Wilda up to address that. And thank you, Denise, for presenting the bill to us. Identify yourself for the record and go right ahead, Wilda.
We're looking at different fiscal notes, Mr. Chairman, that's why.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Wilson, there is an updated fiscal note dated the 13th yesterday that shows federal receipts of 165 and GF match of 335.
We have it now.
Okay. And my apologies for the confusion. This happened pretty quick. Yesterday morning, we heard it was going to be on the Senate floor, and here we are.
Mr. Chairman, in the last 5 days of session, I'm shocked.
Well, we're trying to prove that we know how to read, too. So.
Sorry, Butch. The secretary, we got off here a little bit. But, Wilda, if you have another comment, go ahead and identify yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize because you did get a new fiscal note about 15 minutes before the committee. And that's because last night as I was studying, I realized that it we still indicated 12 members. We hadn't changed that from the fiscal note that after it was amended in finance. So we did send a new fiscal note this morning.
Okay. So seeing no other questions, what I'd like to do, we have Wayne, we have a testifier here. Wayne, if you'd come forward and testify on the bill. And if you would, the department and sponsors stick around if we have questions. And we also have somebody, while you're coming there, Wayne, is Brian in the room or evidently online? Okay, great. Well, go ahead, Wayne, and then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Wayne Stevens. I'm president and CEO of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, and I have had the pleasure and honor of serving as a member of the Healthcare Commission over the past year. My testimony is not a plug for a continuation of my individual service, but a strong and firm belief of the value of the commission and the value of the work that has been performed thus far and the need for work going forward. Alaska's healthcare costs and health coverage insurance premiums have gone up dramatically in recent years, creating a significant burden on businesses and employers. The healthcare professional workforce shortage, especially in the area of primary care, has reduced access for seniors and other Alaskans. Alaska's healthcare system needs adjustment in order to cost effectively provide quality access to its residents, but because the system is complex, the solutions must address multiple factors to avoid unintended consequences. Hurried analysis and decisions for a quick fix by Congress at the federal level or by the legislature is not the answer. The best first step is to address the pressing health care issues, to reform the system, is to permanently establish the Health Care Commission. Made up of experts and representatives of key stakeholders in the state, this appointed body will work to form a plan to realign and redesign where needed the system and make recommendations to the legislature. The temporary commission established through executive order and expired this year had begun to consider a multitude of relevant issues including coverage, cost, access, quality, workforce, health information technology, primary care safety net, cost transparency, prevention, personal responsibility, but the short time frame allowed is not adequate to address these complex issues to the degree needed. The Alaska State Chamber supports the establishment in statute of the Alaska Healthcare Commission to recommend comprehensive statewide health and healthcare policy to the governor and legislature that will result in a healthcare system that provides quality and affordable access to Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Any questions? Representative Wilson.
How many are on the commission currently?
Oh, now a hard question.
I'm sorry.
From the deep, dark recesses of my memory, I believe there are seven of us. Plus the three ex officio members.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Forgive me, I have another meeting that I need to race to, so it's not because I'm not interested.
Just for the record, I would have had a hard time answering that too, Wayne, but I saw Denise's fingers come up. Brian Saylor, are you online?
Yes, sir. This is Brian Saylor. Am I on?
Yes, if you would, identify yourself and give us your testimony, please.
My name is Brian Saylor, currently retired from the University of Alaska Anchorage and from the state government, where in the past I have been the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services and the Director of the Alaska Psychiatric Institute. And I speak in support of the bill and in recognition of what some of the previous people testified to as the complexity of the healthcare system. And one of the elements of the system that appears, in my view, to warrant some additional attention and perhaps some strengthening in the bill is the extent to which our public health enterprise can help reduce costs and improve the health of people by reducing the demand for services. And although this element is suggested in the bill, I would recommend that it be made very explicit. There is an amendment that I have written that Representative Cisna has before her, I believe, that I think would address this. My single point is that demand reduction that comes as a direct result of preventive activities of public health, which go beyond individual responsibility. They're more consistent with the Article 7 of our state constitution that argues that we promote and protect the public health. Those things have been shown repeatedly to have a marked effect on reducing the demand for medical care. Currently, the bill focuses more on the delivery of health services, and in this way reduces the cost of services. My strong recommendation is that public health be explicitly noted in the bill through some amendments that I would trust Representative Cisna has in hand. And I think that this would add a welcome additional element to the study of our healthcare system. Currently, it is a system of health services delivery rather than a system of overall health. And I think the addition of public health would go a long way to correct that.
Thank you, Brian.
And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Brian. Representative Sista.
Thank you. And thank you very much, Dr. Saylor. Really appreciate your comments. And yes, the committee has gotten a copy of the language that you have given us. And what I am wondering, as you were speaking, you had done some study with others at the university on the importance of bringing costs down through the helping people at the very point that they had chronic disease, but helping them to get better, and even just stopping the growth of the disease, the amount of money that's saved in that. And I know that we get so much paper around here that oftentimes those things get lost. And I'm wondering if it's possible for you to make that available to the hopefully new convene commission, because that is one of those things. And I'm wondering if you could do that, make that possible for both here in the legislature and for the new commission to look at, because it really is important.
There's an extensive literature, Representative Cisna, on the impact of health promotion and disease reduction, not only among corporations, where the return on investment is astonishing, but in the public in general. I'm sure that the commission, with the added impetus of attention to public health infrastructure, will be taking that up, and I would be happy to help in any way I can to provide additional information.
Thank you.
Dr. Hurlburt is an expert in this as well, so I don't think my contribution would be significant, but I will be available if asked, certainly.
Thank you.
Okay, Deb Erickson, I know you're online just for questions, but I would like to give you an opportunity. I'm sure you know that you may have some insight that you might like to give us. If you would proceed, and if you're there.
Yes. Thank you, Representative Keller. This is Deb Erickson. I am the current executive director of the Alaska Healthcare Commission. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Thank you.
Oh, very good. Very good. A couple of points. I think what I would do first is perhaps respond to some of the general comments that you yourself made, Representative Keller, and some of the other committee members at the beginning of the hearing, noting that the job of the commission could easily be a full-time job for the individual members, and it's huge otherwise. With the passage of the new federal health care laws, it just became so much more complex, and the amount of work that the commission and commission staff will have is just grown exponentially. If you could take a look at this bill and understand, I know some of you were able to sit through a presentation not too long ago just on an overview of the major components of the over 1,000 pages of new federal law that we have now that are going to fundamentally change I think, the structure of the way we deliver health care in this state. And so, again, we already had a nearly impossible and complicated task just trying to figure out how we get a handle on more efficiently and effectively organizing the way health care is funded and delivered. And now we have this whole other task before us and trying to figure out how to make the system work better with this new federal law. So I wanted to mention that fact. In follow-up to a couple other comments, maybe I'll start with the most recent one. I understand that there may be an amendment considered, and follow up on Dr. Saylor's comments. I believe that a strong healthcare delivery system must rest on a foundation of prevention and a strong public health system. So I would not disagree with that at all. I think as we add duties to the commission, it potentially will water down the mission a bit. But in concept, I absolutely agree and understand where people supporting the addition of duties related to prevention and public health are coming from. Related to the resources, if I could maybe add a little clarification there, I'm imagining folks are wondering how the department managed to support the commission over this past year. I would reiterate what Dr. Hurlburt said earlier, is that without additional resources, we don't have the expertise in the Department of Health and Social Services. The position that I am in now was created as essentially a non-perm, fully exempt position that is not on the budget. So I would imagine if the fiscal note were to be stripped, that the position I'm in now would probably go away. Moving into this position, I had worked for the Department of Health and Social Services for about 25 years. So just speaking from experience, this sort of unfunded mandate that the department would be saddled with this, if this bill were to pass into state law without any resources attached, I would imagine that the legislature will basically get what they pay for, and that there wouldn't be an opportunity to bring on the type of expertise through consultant contracts that the department would need. It would become another duty as assigned to somebody else, another employee who probably is overburdened, and you'd probably just get a staff report with maybe some teleconferenced commission meetings throughout the year. One point that wasn't made related to the resources needed, two things we weren't able to do. Dr. Hurlburt mentioned that having to support the position I'm in now, the executive director position this past year, actually caused the division that was saddled with it to go into a budget hole this year. And it would have been much worse if they hadn't had a couple of high-level positions go vacant for a number of months. But one of the things, in addition to not being able to bring on any consultants who could bring some additional expertise and analysis that the commission could have used this past year, one of the things that was unfortunate was at the beginning of the year, the commission had developed a pretty detailed public communication and public engagement strategy with the hope that one of the earlier bills and fiscal notes would have been established last legislative session. We were not able to implement that public communication plan because we didn't have the resources to do so. So as a result, we were not able to share as much information as broadly with the public and to be able to engage the public in understanding what the commission was doing and inviting public input and feedback as much as we would have liked. And as a result, it probably wasn't as transparent to the public as it could have been as well. And so that's one other point related to what additional resources would bring through the fiscal note. Beyond that, Mr. Chair, I have no other comments, but would welcome any questions anybody might have.
I see no questions. Thank you, Deb. I just want to put on the record that the commission that I had a privilege of serving on was established just to, I know this was already said, but it was established by administrative order. And it gave the commission the authority to hire an executive director. And the hiring of Deb happened before I knew what was going on. And frankly, I was livid. And and I made a lot of statements. And I was very careful not to direct them at Deb. But I just wanted to let you know, that put on the record, that I have the profound respect and appreciation for your work. You're very bright. You're a genius administrator. You're you really did good on the facilitating, and the commission would not have been successful without you. And I have become one of your greatest fans, and I can just want to put that on the record, you know, as a from a personal perspective. Any questions for Deb? Seeing none, for now we're going to close the public testimony. And we'll open it back up if there's questions that need to be asked. But as what is the discussion from the committee? Representative Sista.
Well, as Mr. Chair, as I see it, there is another amendment also on the floor besides my own, right? And I just wanted to know what order your plan is.
You have the floor, and there's only we have. No other amendments offered at this time. I have one that I want to bring forward for Co-Chair Herron, and Representative Wilson may have one, but if you have one, go ahead. And
okay, and thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number one for purposes of discussion.
I'll object for a purpose of discussion.
Thank you. And I think that everyone probably has a copy of this amendment. I'd like to speak to it and speak to your objection, Mr. Chair. And what this amendment does is adds to on G that would be after it's the top of page 6 of the bill, and at the very top you see C, D, E, F. And it is the listing of the services that the board is supposed to be working on, and the duties of the commission is actually what it says, and it follows the discussion which has been mentioned before in the comments that have been made, and talks about a personal responsibility and things like preventative medicine, those kinds of things. But what is not talked about specifically is what is actually in the Constitution itself, and that's really looking at primary prevention in the not just mentioning it as primary prevention, but determining the resources needed by local and state governments. And what's missing in this amendment is, I believe, and my staff believes as well, that it should say the state governments to promote and protect, because that's what the Constitution says, and that's actually what is really missing, one, from this list of duties. But it's also the fact that what the state government is doing, and it's a state function rather than private industry function, is trying to deal with the fact that our public are first in the nation in so very, very many habits, preventative conditions. And those habits and preventative conditions are part of the huge driver of our huge debt that we've been building and eating into other department functions because of the growth of that. And if, in fact, we do what this amendment suggests, and that's look at what are the things that are needed, and then in part two of that amendment on H, the following letter, is to assess the effect of improved health status on the cost of health care. And if you, in fact, make sure that that you're spending your money in a way that, that brings you the most cost-effective expenditure of state money. And that's what you get with this. Instead of waiting until someone is eligible for Medicare before we find out they've got a problem. And that's the situation we're in right now. We have to wait until people get sick, oftentimes before they come into our site. Then they come into the emergency room. The first place they come is the most expensive place to come. And then they start getting eligible for Medicaid. And all of a sudden, we see these people. And from then on, if they stay sick, we're going to keep spending money. They're entitled to that money. And in fact, the state budget document that is created every year for us in the Health and Social Services Committee actually does, and I think I don't have it sitting in front of me, I might, talks about it says Alaska's healthcare system continues to be fragmented and uncoordinated and doesn't produce the kinds of outcomes we expect. And it is my belief that part of the reason that doesn't happen is we put our money and our attention on the money part of health. We put our time in there when where the huge costs are, the very sick people. They look sick, they cost the way sick people cost. And what we've got to do in this state is do the huge, huge, horrible thing of turning everything around and trying to keep those kids healthy right at the very beginning and make sure that every single point that every person in the state is at, they stop if they're getting more ill and we get them healthier. I probably could talk on and on, and I don't think I should, but I think it is really important to have this language in this legislation, and it does give a different focus. I don't think that it actually waters down. I don't think that's what it does. It gives us a refined way of looking at this so that we really keep spending money. Not the dominant thing we're thinking about. It's making sure people don't get sicker and making sure that we're trying to arrest them wherever they are and then build health. Build health. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to weigh in briefly in support of the amendment. I agree with Representative Sisnet that I'm looking at the list of things, and there are some really, really good tasks on here, but I think that the one thing that's not clearly spelled out is looking at what we know. I mean, we know, and we talk a lot on the fifth floor when we're doing the HESS budget, we talk a lot about what lifestyles and other things that could be on the prevention side. It could be things like immunizations on the prevention side. It could be the anti-obesity discussion that we've had. It could be all sorts of other things on the front end. And I think I don't really see that clearly covered in this list, and so I'm supporting the amendment because I think that's a huge cost driver in the state and ought to be within the purview of the commission to look at.
I'm going to ask Deb to respond here in a minute, but first I want to say those are very good comments. It is like deja vu. You know, I mean, on the commission, this has been discussed, and if you look at page 5, starting on 19. What I had visions of, the deja vu thing, was Deb standing there at the whiteboard and saying, yeah, but that's covered right here. You know, and so the commission, it is, you know, I don't think, I can't speak for the commission, but for myself, I there's absolutely nothing wrong with what you said, but I think it is included. And if you look, start at page 5 there, starting on line 19, when it talks about there about the duties of the commission, it's a comprehensive statewide policy, of course, but look at 21 there. Encourages personal responsibility for disease prevention, healthy living. You know, these things were all part of it. And when we talk about determining what is needed in the local areas, you know, for this, that's just part of what the commission does. And I'm going to let Deb respond to correct me if I'm wrong and to add things, but I will continue to object because The problem is, I think, with H more than G, just my own knee-jerk, is when it talks about assessing the effect, we want to encourage, prevention for the healthy living. And yes, we discussed, the huge benefit of the healthy living as opposed to the very sick person, like you said, and that's all part of it. It's inherent in what the commission does. And to specify it like that, well, it wouldn't be harmful, but it might cause confusion, because we've covered this ground, I believe. But can I go ahead? Okay. Representative Sista.
Yeah, my just adding into there, what I wrote down when I was looking at that was Medicaid. Because this state spends more money on making people know, nobody means to do that, but we spend more money on getting people familiar with our Medicaid program, those kinds of programs, than we do on, and I may be corrected on that, but on the effort to help people overcome the habits they learned when they were little kids. And some of those habits are learned through very expensive advertising. And the private sector has their rights, and that's absolutely okay. However, the state has a different role. And part of the state's role is to help people on those habits. It took a lot of money to get, actually.
Yeah. In response to that, one of the hazards of our short session, it looks like, is going to be our bill on using Medicaid waivers to address the prevention in that capacity. And I think that's great. But again, I really do believe this is covered in the heart and the mission and the description of the duties of the commission. But I would like, Deb, would you like to add to this discussion? I would sure invite you to correct me if I was wrong. I'm going to maintain my objection to the amendment, and I just want it very clear. It isn't because of the intent. I mean, the intent is perfect, but I believe it's covered. Deb, are you online? Bat, we'll open up testimony a little bit here for this.
Yes, Mr. Chair. For the record, this is Deb Erickson, the Executive Director of the Alaska Healthcare Commission, and I believe I'm looking at the amendments that Representative Sisna has offered. There's an addition of a duty G to determine resources needed by local and state governments to protect the public health, and a duty H, which would be to assess the effect of improved health status on the cost of health care. Is that correct?
That's right. And on the upper right-hand corner, it should say 26LS0790/C(1).
I think I have an earlier working draft, but if those are the two amendments that the
okay, yes,
you got considering now,
okay.
I guess just to offer my personal opinion, I would agree with you, Representative Keller, that duty H to assess the effect of improved health status on the cost of health care is addressed in the current duties through subsection A2A, encouraging personal responsibility for disease prevention, healthy living, acquisition of health insurance. There is reduction in health costs, strategies related to prevention, successful innovations in other states, other cost-saving measures. C, at the top of page 6 in the bill, eliminating known health risks. I think also gets at the point that duty H would be addressing. The one thing that this proposed new duty G does that might not be directly recognized by a future healthcare commission or addressed in these duties is the role of local and state governments for public health. So that's one thing that wouldn't necessarily be understood and addressed in these duties, potentially.
Okay. Thank you, Deb. One question on that. Do you see that as adding a huge burden on the commission if we were to, and I'm not at all suggesting what Representative Sisna will do here, but if she wanted to go ahead with just G?
The commission, wouldn't imagine, would have the resources with the current fiscal note to do a thorough analysis of all of these duties, including a new G. I would imagine that the commission could address to a certain extent, at least in more general terms, what the role of local and state governments for public health are, that would start to get at the question of the resources needed. I guess my point is, within whatever resources the commission's given, the task is so huge, they will be having to prioritize and make decisions on the scope of the work that will need to be done to address all of the duties, and this will just add one more duty to how they will have to prioritize and manage their work.
Thank you, Deb. We have a question from Representative Tammy Wilson.
Well, my question is actually to the sponsor. I would just like to know what their effect is on this.
The sponsor would come forward and...
For the record, again, my name is Denise Liccioli, and I'm staff to Senator Olson. I spoke to Senator Olson about this, a previous version of the amendment, which basically just had it all in one. I didn't see the one where it was broken out in two this morning. But Senator Olson believes, as Representative Keller stated, that although putting it in may not necessarily be harmful to the work of the commission or the guidance that would be afforded to them, he feels that the duties as they're currently outlined would cover these. And one further possibly slight concern would be when you mention local resources needed by local governments. There are an awful lot of local governments in this state, and the resources they need could be quite different from one particular government to the next, depending on where they were and what kinds of things were out there. So not really being real sure exactly what would be entailed with determining resources needed, and possibly better done if you said, as the current duties do, that this is what we want to accomplish, then the resources needed might be better stated by those governments.
Follow up. And if the commissions saw things going this direction, they could always add those later on. I mean, because we really don't know where this is going. We don't necessarily have to state this for the commission to decide in their working that it might be a good thing.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I believe that Senator Olson would agree with that statement. He also felt that, although it's not harmful necessarily to state this, that they would already be doing those kinds of things in their work as it is.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close public testimony again, and we'll let Representative Sisna wrap up, please.
Okay, and thank you. I would be happy to wrap up. The reason I feel strongly about adding this amendment is, in fact, because this is my 12th year being in this body, and when I came, conditions in the state and the expenses in the state were very high, and we had numbers of people who I had worked with in the mental health field that had enormous problems, and I went to school and I found all the different ways that you could help people in really cost-effective ways if you did it right, and came to this legislature, and we're still not adopting those things, and we're spending more and more money, and we have more and more of our population, and it's beginning to move into the very young. Our young are getting much sicker, much earlier, and appear to be as a whole group having a very large percentage of them with really horrible habits that are going to make them have life quality different than ours. So as adults, and that's really frightening to me. So yeah, I am passionate about this, and it does appear to be a perspective, and it's a perspective that continues, and we're still on the same page, and I'm still saying kind of some of the same things. So I am speaking in favor of wanting to do this because it's the way we're thinking, and we have to be thinking differently if we're going to solve the problem, because we're not, the way we're going right now, we haven't stopped anything. And in terms of local government and what effects what they have, that's something personally I've been handling under my own budget with the trips I've made. And I've gone to 60-some communities looking at health systems in communities. And then through the Health Caucus, we've been doing a lot of the same thing, bringing people in. And I don't make that much money. I personally think a lot of the information I've gotten is by asking people questions and inviting people to make comments, and local governments actually are quite accessible. I go in and talk to a lot of folks, and they're never quiet about what's going on in their communities. What I think we don't do is ask. And I think just the asking, having a commission ask and knowing that somebody's going to read the letter would be a huge thing. Thank you.
I'm going to ask the secretary to call the roll, and I'm going to maintain my objection because I do not want to discount your points.
Thank you.
They're very good. But late in the session, it'd be a lot easier for the bill if we do not make this change. And I believe it's covered. And I know the heart of the past members of the commission. So I know that it's incorporated. So if you would call the roll, please.
Representative Sista?
Yes.
Representative Holmes?
Yes.
Representative T. Wilson?
No.
Representative Lynn?
No.
Representative Seaton is not here. Co-Chair Herron is not here. Co-Chair Keller?
No. So 3-2, the amendment fails. And the amendment that the co-chair was going to present was based on a previous version of Representative Sisna's. No? Liz, would you come forward? and we'll get this straight. We'll open testimony here for a little bit. And I want to make sure that we're doing, getting under consideration what your boss, Representative Herron, would like us to discuss. So. If you would help me out.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair Keller. For the record, my name is Liz Clement. I'm staff to Co-Chair Representative Bob Herron. The amendment that my boss would like to have offered if he had not himself had to go to another committee hearing is actually contingent not on Representative Sisna's amendment, but on the amendment that I understand Representative Wilson may be offering. So if it could be... if that is the case, and if Representative Wilson does decide to offer her amendment,
which I am.
That clarifies a lot. Thank you. We'll close testimony again, and we will ask Representative
Wilson.
Just
wait my turn. Yeah, I like to move. It's a conceptual amendment. We didn't run this by legal, so they have some changes. But I'd like to move amendment number 2.
I'll object for purposes of understanding what it is, and we don't have a written copy of it.
You do. You should also put that in the
email. Okay.
We weren't sure who it belonged to until now.
So the amendment that has been moved is then objected to is replace what you want to describe it. Go ahead.
What I kind of wanted to do is I was first of all concerned on the fiscal note that it was for an executive director, not necessarily someone within the division. And then a new fiscal note, I guess I'm even more concerned because now it's two positions, not just one. So the commission may appoint an executive director, which would go into the section to replace 18.09.040 that talks about the executive director. But this one would say who may not be a member of the commission and who shall be a current staff of the department, which to me sounds like there may already be a person. All commission research and supplemental work shall be accomplished with department resources and collaboration between commission members. And as you'll see, my rationale with it is the amendment allows the commission the flexibility to determine its staffing needs and workload. And that's why I changed it to may appoint instead of shall appoint. So it's not that they can't put an executive director. I kind of wanted the board to be able to look at it, decide as work went along what they needed. And it utilizes the expertise of the department, which I believe that they have, and maximizes their resources. I'm just very concerned whenever we keep adding more people, and that was one of my biggest concerns that we had talked. I talked to Representative Keller about. I do believe that this commission is a good thing. I think we've got something coming in front of us that none of us, including the federal government, knows what's going to happen. And to have a person in charge of that commission and bringing all those resources together, I don't have a problem with that either. But I do have a problem, I guess, with they're saying here we're going to be hiring somebody at $134,000 plus a second person at $58,000, and I guess that's what I put into question. And so, answer any questions. I just wanted to put it forward.
Sure. I'll maintain my objection. Any comments on the committee? And the reason only reason I am is that again, a lot of this is paid for, by the federal government. And the shall or the may, if it may be somebody. In fact, let's open public testimony. Is Will still here? No, nope, she's gone.
She is here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you would, that'd be great. At ease, just a little bit. Discussion on the bill. How about the second shall and the who shall be current staff to the department? Representative Co-Chair Heron wanted to put the word may in there, who may be current staff of the department. I'm asking if you're willing to take that as a friendly amendment.
Yes,
to the amendment.
I am. And I want to answer a follow-up question, and I'll put the question on the record as well, since we're kind of saying it. The question was, if the current person is now hired with Health and Social Services, if that person were to leave, would this amendment make it so that position could not be put into that one? That is a position in Health and Social Services. It's not based on a person. So if the current member, current hired, is in front of the board now, and she is designated as that board employee, she shifted from that area to there, still Health and Social Services, and she chooses to leave for whatever reason, they can still hire somebody else in that position, because the position still exists. Plus, if we change it to May, it also leaves it open a little bit more.
One more clarification. You're replacing the whole section 040, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so the last sentence of that, the commission shall. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, from the sponsor.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, it just a minute until we figure this out. We're just a committee chatting here. Did you intend to, Representative Wilson, did you intend to say, not include that the commission shall establish the duties of the executive director? I don't see that in there. I would think that that would be a pretty important element.
Right. And if I could find the right part of my papers, it would help. I've got to find page 4.
Mr. Chairman, if I may make
Representative Holmes?
If I may make a suggestion, it looks like maybe all you wanted to replace was
the first sentence. Right,
instead
just the first
of replacing
sentence, yes.
The rest of it.
Right, just the first.
Okay. So just a point of clarification, it looks like we may or may not get Will to back, but we have the sponsor's representative here. But just for clarification, come on up to Denise, and public testimony is back open. But the amendment, I want to state it, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, that what the amendment would do is take the first sentence of 1809-040 out, and we're under the executive director, say the commission may appoint an executive director who may not be a member of the commission and who may be current staff of the department. All commission research and supplemental work shall be accomplished with department resources and collaboration between the commission members. So that would replace the
first sentence.
So, the sponsor of the representative of the sponsor, Denise, do you have some?
Again, my name is still Denise Licioli, and I'm still staff to Senator Olson.
And you're still there.
If I may, I realize that the department's representative on the fiscal note is not here, but I would like to share that I've had more than 30 years' experience.
Here.
Oh, well, she may prefer to speak then, and I would defer to her doing so if that's the case.
Yeah, we still
Representative Wilson, who did you want to direct your question to?
Well, I think it's probably good to hear from both of them if they don't mind.
Okay. Will, if you'd come forward and pull up a chair and join Denise, and we'll pick on you both.
Okay. Well, I didn't write the fiscal note, but I do have more than 30 years of experience on the executive side in administrative services and dealt with a lot of personnel issues. My understanding of the existing position is it's a non-perm position that they established because when the current commission was established, they were not given funding, and therefore that position goes away. So I think I heard Representative Wilson say that they already have a position there, but that's true for a very short period of time, but the position does go away. So if you allowed this to go forward as it is without the approval of an additional position for them, then they would have to take a position that exists and reassign it to do something else, whether it was filled or unfilled, and whoever they chose to fill it with. So I just wanted to make that clarification. It is not a permanent position that Deb Erickson currently occupies.
Follow up, Representative Wilson.
Well, I think as we change the other word from shall to may, it does allow that position to become permanent and to put it in there, because now we've made it to where the commission may do it. We're just not, I guess what the amendment really does is it does not force an executive director to have to be hired unless it's seen. So it really doesn't change the fiscal note at this point by changing those words.
From the department?
Mr. Chairman, can I
identify yourself? Well done. Give us your words of wisdom.
For the record, Mr. Chair, Wilda Laughlin, Legislative Liaison for the Department of Health and Social Services, and I apologize, I had to step out for a moment. And if you could repeat the question, please.
Well, you probably need to see the
amendment. Okay, let me read the whole amendment as I understand it. In version C.A, on page 4, line 20, that first sentence after executive director, which ends on line 22, is to be taken out and replaced with the conceptual amendment that's been offered. And the conceptual amendment that has been offered says the commission may appoint an executive director who may not be a member of the commission and may be current staff of the department. All commission research and supplemental work shall be accomplished with department resources and collaboration between commission members. And the question is, what do you approve on such short notice?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that's a question for the Ledge liaison. I apologize. I think Dr. Hurlburt is the expert on the division, and
yeah, that's right.
Or maybe Deb Erickson, and I know that puts her in an uncomfortable position.
I stated the question very poorly. The question was, what do you see this as the effect on the fiscal impact on the fiscal note? And come on up. Yeah. We got more Okay, great.
And then at some point, Mr. Chairman, I have a comment question on this.
For the record, I'm Jill Lewis. I'm Deputy Director with Public Health.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So as I understand it, I came in late to the hearing from another hearing, so I apologize if I'm a little behind the curve. But looking at this, that the commission may appoint an executive director who may not be a member of the commission, and we've changed the word who shall be current to be who may be current. All right. And then all commission research and supplemental work shall be accomplished with department resources and collaboration between commission members. I think there was a question about the status of Deb Erickson's position and why we need a PCN for that, and why there's funding for that when she already is the commission executive director. I missed the question, so was that a question?
If you answer that question, Jill, that would be helpful to us, even if that wasn't expressly asked.
But okay. earlier, when they first created the commission, they requested a position, and it was in the budget as opposed to being in a fiscal note. And then it was not subsequently funded in the budget. So we have a person who is in a position, but that position does not exist technically in the budget anymore. And the funding for it did not get appropriated. So right now, public health is absorbing it. And officially, if you looked it up in the budget, there is no position for that. It's called an unbudgeted position. It happens sometimes. It's kind of a technical budgeting issue. And so to get that remedied, we need to actually appropriate the money for her existing position and actually add the position in the fiscal note. And then it's essentially the same money we're already paying out, but right now the Division of Public Health has to absorb that cost.
Representative Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The way I understand it, and I'm sure that you two will correct me if I'm wrong, the first sentence of the proposed amendment is not the problematic section. The first sentence just gives more discretion you can hire within, and maybe even helpful. It's the second sentence that would cause the confusion as to whether or not we could authorize Deb's position or put somebody else in that position.
Thank you, Representative. Before you respond, Jill, I just want to point out that is my problem too. When it talks about restricting all research to the department resources, there's a very good possibility that we want to use research that is provided by private industry, whatever. So,
oh, yeah.
That's a real problem for me. And but before I let you respond, Jill, I would like the clarification from Representative Wilson, if I understand that right.
Yeah. Well, I guess in their budget, I figured they probably have research for outside. I don't think they get. I imagine they probably go outside for extra information on a routine basis. I can't imagine that all your resources for everything you do in health and social services, that you never look from outside your own community. So I'm figuring those already exist.
Right. In the second sentence of your amendment says, all commission research and supplemental work shall be accomplished with department resources. And so does that not
restrict? Well, I guess I'm assuming those resources are currently there, and maybe that's not a good assumption. And I'm putting that out for discussion to find out what does exist at this current time. Does the department now go out for these private research in other things that they currently do? Because, I mean, we're doing work on health all the time and making plans, whether it's through Medicaid or through Denali Kid Care. You're constantly looking at health and social services through all the different departments. So
just a clarification, we're talking about the commission research here. And so the commission may want to draw in research that comes from other sources than the department. So I understand where you were going,
right.
but I think your wording here, Representative Holmes, did you have a?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to agree with you on this, that I know it's not the intention, but I'm afraid that this language means that it would hamper the commission in accepting, for instance, federal contributions, or for instance, there are going to be private members. There may be private members who wish to actually kick in resources to help the commission. And I think, unfortunately, rather than helping, I think that it would.
Well, that's why it says
preclude us.
Collaborates between commissions, so it would not anything the commission wanted to bring. It does not interfere with that. But we can ask the department. That's kind of what I just wanted the discussion to ask the department. What's
in the department? I have unwittingly brought
the head guy.
The head guy over there, Dr. Hurlbert, if you.
But I had another question. Why we still have somebody on the fiscal note too? I wonder.
Okay, Representative Wilson has a question for Jill.
Sure. I understand that we have one person. Do you know why we've increased it to two?
Through the chair to Representative Wilson. Yes, I do, because with the new health care reform bill, Deb Erickson has also been charged by the governor to be the lead of the interdepartmental team on that, and that is going to dramatically increase the load that she has to do. Currently, the administrative support that she gets is from the commissioner's office, and it's very limited. And there will be a substantial increase with the health care reform duties that she has added.
Okay,
and that is going to be ongoing for the foreseeable future. There's not really a finite end to how long it will take us to deal with health care reform.
And follow-up, Representative Wilson?
So I guess what I'm trying to put in my mind, because now it sounds like we're talking about two different types of activities that she's going to be, or someone will be, shouldn't designate to one person. This position would be designated to. If the governor or the administration is asking for these other duties to be done, would that not be outside the scope of the board?
through the chair, Representative Wilson, no, I don't believe it is. It's within the charter of the Health Care Commission.
The board. Okay, thank you.
First of all, she had a follow-up, I think, for Dr. Hurlburt, but did you want to ask your question, too? Not a comment.
Yeah, it was on this subject. Yeah, I'm over here, kind of out of the group. I am here. One of the ironic things about this is that we're talking the funding coming out of the department that I was actually, the funding is coming out of the division that actually does the preventative, the promotional work. And so we're talking about fewer people to do that in order to have this commission that's going to be focusing primarily, according to this, on all these other divisions. And that, if we're going to actually do what's the cheapest, what gets us the best results, we need to make sure that public health stays with their budget intact and have this be funded for what it is. It's going to save enormous amounts of money if we let them do their work.
Representative Wilson?
I'm just trying to follow that up, what they do. It's not just about the money. It is. I mean, I'm not asking for people to be dying of sickness or anything, or, you know, but sometimes I feel that we make rules here because we feel others aren't doing their job. And I feel like the department has wonderful people in it who are doing many great things. And I just want to make sure that we are utilizing those talents and not overseeding those people. So, and part of this is just to make sure that we are utilizing to their talents. So it's not to short fund anybody or to say that it's not important. It's to make sure that we're utilizing the people in the best way that we can. You know, and unless I understand what they're currently doing and you know, and it's back to, and Representative Keller has said it more than I in this whole thing, we're all walking in the dark at this point trying to figure out what this huge plan that now everybody has kind of had dumped on them as a state that even our federal government doesn't understand that makes us uneasy. And I just want to make sure that we're not complicating with more boards, complicating with more people when maybe all those resources are there. Having this board in place is great. One person, you know, was, and then all of a sudden we're two. So I'm not going to stand in the way. I just want to make sure that we're just not complicating their world. That's where I'm at. And that's why I want to make sure that this amendment doesn't complicate their world more also.
So, Dr. Hurlburt, did you want to respond to the amendment as you understand it, or do you have a copy of it? Or?
Yes, I've seen a copy of it. Chairman, my wife will ask what I did in June, and I'll say I played musical chairs. thank you very much. In responding through the chair to Representative Wilson, I think we are concerned to keep the costs as prudent and as modest as reasonable, and to get the job done. And that, as I stated earlier, with health care reform now coming on and impacting on this whole area, on many of the national aspects of it, as we look at it, there are going to be analyses done that will be available that we don't have to go out and buy, and not having to reinvent that wheel or duplicate that effort. Where we do not have the expertise and resources, as an example, the example I used before again was on the health economic impact analysis kinds of things. We do not have that kind of expertise within the department, and we'll need to contract for that. So some of the Alaska specific things related to healthcare reform, we will need to buy that expertise. We will need to buy those analyses. The Healthcare Commission already in its first year in existence brought in expertise, for example, Dr. Donald Pathman from University of North Carolina, who's a real expert related to loan repayment, to incentives to get providers into the state, nationally recognized expert, but we did need to buy that. We didn't have that expertise locally. In terms of responding to health care reform, just one other comment. Again, we are concerned that this is it's an intimidating and a huge job for the state to look at. We do want to do it as efficiently as we can. Wisconsin, for example, has established a whole new state agency to deal with this, and we're not looking to go down that road, but we're trying to see if some of that efficiency can come from using the Healthcare Commission, an already established public work group, to work along with the intrastate government interdepartmental group in looking at and responding to that. So we're trying to be sensitive to the concerns you express.
Representative Wilson.
And I guess I just wanted to bring you forward to make it clear that you currently do go out to get some of these studies done when you do need those expertise. So this isn't a new concept with it being put in there. And I don't have a problem dropping the second sentence off, but I just wanted the discussion to be that you currently do go out for those studies, you know, maybe not because of the board, but because of other issues that are rising in all the different areas that you have. So I just wanted to make sure that we had that discussion of what you do now.
Yes, thank you.
So I don't have a problem with that.
No, a clarification of where we're at, and maybe another just a slight amendment to your amendment, your conceptual amendment. What where we're at, I think the amendment that I would drop my objection to is if we replace the first section,
the first sentence with the first
sentence
amendment
of 1809040 with the language. The commission may employ, if that's right. Okay with you, an executive director, not a point, but a commission may employ an executive director who may not be a member of the commission and who may be a current staff with a department. Now, is that close?
That'll work.
Yep. I remove my objection. Is there any other comments? Any other closed public testimony? And thank you. And is there any other comments on the bill? Any other adjustments? What's the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion?
I am.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for Senate Bill number 172, version C, finance amended, 26LS0790/C.A, from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations as amended.
I think you got it right.
The order was a little funky, but I think I got all the words in there.
Seeing no objection, the bill passes from committee. This may be the last time the Hess meets. Mm-hmm. Been a pleasure serving with my fellow committee members. Thank you. And does anyone have any parting shots? Otherwise, we're going to drop the gavel.